Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager whose site is unique on the web. Subscribers are allowed a window into Mike's very real main account and receive announcements and explanations for all his market moves. The Federal Reserve has been inflating the money supply to finance the bank bailouts and terror war overseas. So Mike's betting on commodities, mining stocks, European markets, and other hedges against our depreciating dollar. Play along on paper or with real money, and then be your own judge of Mike's investment strategies. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's the Scott Horton Show. I'm him. We're on No Agenda Radio, NoAgendaStream.com. Appreciate y'all listening. And our guest today, looks like our one and only guest today, is libertarian activist and radio and internet TV host Adam Kokesh from Adam versus the Man. Welcome to the show, Adam. How are you doing?
Outstanding. Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Well, you're very welcome. Very happy to have you here today. So, big doings going on in your recent past and upcoming future here to talk about. First of all, I'm glad to welcome you back to relative freedom. You've been locked up in some kind of jail or another recently. Why don't you go ahead and take us through real quick what happened with your arrest at that pot rally, early last week or when was it?
Yes, last Saturday, federal prison for 1 week. But before we get to that, Scott, I think people need to know the bigger picture and context in which this arrest took place. And as you know from being familiar with the details of how it went down, I was targeted. I was pulled out of a crowd by federal agents, and I was charged with the ridiculous charge of assaulting a police officer, a federal agent specifically. And they tried to keep me away from the public and incommunicado after that arrest. And the most likely explanation, without presuming any conspiracy when incompetence provides an adequate explanation, is that I'm organizing or was organizing an open carry, loaded open carry march on Washington, D.C. for Independence Day. As they have decided to step up their tactics and make it clear that the availability of us peacefully exercising our rights and our ability to peacefully assemble and address our government for petition our government for a redress of grievances is no longer available, and that as an organizer I can be targeted and disappeared, we have decided that the only appropriate response is a similar escalation. And while I was in prison, I wrote the following, titled "The Final American Revolution." When a government has repeatedly and deliberately failed to follow its own laws, violated the fundamental human rights of its citizens, threatened the sanctity of a free press, created institutions intended to eliminate privacy of communication, waged war at the behest of special interests that threatens the public safety, killed hundreds of children with drone strikes, imprisoned and destroyed the lives of countless individuals for victimless crimes, stifled economic opportunity to maintain the dominance of the financial elite, stolen from the people through an absurd system of taxation and inflation, sold future generations into debt slavery, and abused its power to suppress political opposition, it is unfit to exist, and it becomes the duty of the people to alter or abolish that government by whatever means necessary to secure liberty and ensure peace. A new American revolution is long overdue. This revolution has been brewing in the hearts and minds of the people for many years, but this Independence Day it shall take new form as the American Revolutionary Army will march on each state capital to demand that the governors of these 50 states immediately initiate the process of an orderly dissolution of the federal government through secession and reclamation of federally held property. Should one whole year pass from this July 4th while the crimes of this government are allowed to continue, we may have passed the point at which nonviolent revolution becomes impossible. The time to sit idly by is past. To remain neutral is to be complicit. Just doing your job is not an excuse, and the line in the sand has been drawn between the people and the criminals in Washington, D.C. While some timid souls will say that it is too early, that we can solve this problem through the democratic means provided by government, that current levels of taxation are reasonable for the services provided, and that the crimes of this government are merely a tolerable nuisance, it may already be too late. While there is risk in drastic action, the greater danger lies in allowing this government to continue unchallenged. So if you are content with the status quo, stay home, get fat, watch the fireworks from a safe distance, and allow this Independence Day to pass like any other. But if you see as we see and feel as we feel, we will see you on the front lines of freedom on July 4th, 2013, for this, the final American Revolution.
So what you're saying is it was going to be a peaceful demonstration, but now it's going to be an armed revolt?
Well, it was an armed revolt. Now it's going to be a national a nationwide call for the dissolution of the federal government.
Yeah. Well, and so how many people have signed up on your Facebook page for this revolution then?
Well, we're taking sign-ups through a lot of other mechanisms and promoting this in a lot of ways outside of Facebook. But we have just this weekend got 50 separate events for each state where people can coordinate. We have a national coordinator who's just facilitating people being able to get together in their states. His name is Jeffrey Phillips. People can get a hold of him at jeffrey@adamversusdeman.com. We have people stepping up all over the place. And when we announced what we were doing for Independence Day in Washington, D.C., we already had people organically just saying, well, we're going to do our own thing for Independence Day. So now we want to shift focus to make sure that people are actually doing something that is more than symbolic, but making specific demands. And I think it's about time that people stop the futile efforts of trying to change this law or adjust this policy or fight for this one little inch when the government takes a mile behind your back. The only way that we can really defeat this thing at this point is to eliminate it entirely, and the abolition of the federal government is a good start.
Well, you know, I'd like to see a world without D.C., but aren't you risking getting innocent people killed?
How so?
Well, you're saying that originally the plan was to have a bunch of people basically parade around with their rifles and say, like, hey, we're rifle owners and you guys better step off and you can't take our rifles. Now you're saying you want to escalate. Basically, you want to shoot your rifles and make the federal government cease to exist starting on July 4th.
Oh, no, we're not shooting anybody. This is a march to demand action from the governors of the 50 states.
So you're saying you're not going to D.C. at all now? You're going only to the state governments now? Is the difference?
Correct. And people are welcome to be armed and to open carry if they like, but there are no targets being named. This is a peaceful assembly to demand the disillusionment of the federal government.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. It sounds like a great symbolic point to make in an unarmed kind of way, but in an armed kind of way, you're just asking for a slaughter, right? Because what do you expect, governments to dissolve themselves? If a bunch of people with rifles show up, like they really mean it, like they're there to stay and prevent the government from being the government anymore because they're getting rid of it or whatever it is, then whatever state police and or National Guard or whoever will shoot them in all 50 states, right?
This isn't about any kind of confrontation. Hold on. Scott, you're really misrepresenting this. People
well,
are
maybe I misunderstand it.
Right. There's no specific physical action that is being taken. It is a rally to demand secession.
Yeah. Well,
and yes, it could be Kent State. They could come down, but that's not a reason not to protest. I mean, if it's Kent State happened, therefore we should never stand up again, then we're not going to see any change.
Well, I'm not saying that, but the thing is, it's just you're conflating so many different things together, right? Like, first of all, the way I see it is this. If we lived in the kind of free society that you want to live in, that I want to live in, it wouldn't matter if a bunch of guys paraded around with rifles. Who cares about a rifle? You know, it's a free society, big
right.
deal. The fact is, we do live in a kind of country where somebody like yourself maybe does need to do a kind of a march, some kind of thing to prove that point or whatever. But the fact that we live in that kind of society means that that's very dangerous ground that you're treading on. I'm not saying it's, you know, I object to it 100%, the original idea of the march around Washington, D.C. kind of thing. I guess, you know, it depends on the context. I could kind of see that. But if you're saying that, no, we're declaring independence and we demand the governments dissolve themselves and we're showing up with our rifles, then that's not the same thing as just doing sort of a Second Amendment kind of a march on that point,
sure.
And
well,
having rifles
well,
for display, but obviously not for use, which is what seemed like you were going for in the first place.
That is what we're going for, but it's going to be up to the individuals in their states whether or not they want to show up armed. And if it's a state where open carry is entirely illegal, then I don't think it's necessary to press that issue in order to make the point.
Well, I mean, in principle, you're right, but again, like I'm saying, if we lived in the kind of society where it didn't make a difference, then you wouldn't need to make that point in the first place. But it's just, on this particular issue.
If people don't want to show up armed, then they don't have to. That's not what this is about.
All right.
I think you're conflating this with what was announced as the plans previously when it was a march on D.C., but that's not what it is anymore.
Okay, I guess that is my mistake then. You're saying that is off, and instead what
Correct.
You want is a bunch of people to show up at the state capitals saying go back to the Articles of Confederation or something, and you can bring guns if you want, but that's not the point anymore at all, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
But it's not to go back to the Articles of Confederation, that's for sure.
Oh, well, I was just throwing that out there because that'd be a good start for getting rid of the federal government, right? It doesn't sound like you're saying get rid of all the state governments.
But I think if we're taking this drastic action and saying that the current federal government is unfit to exist, then asking it to take, you know, exactly that many steps back and go right back to the Articles of Confederation would be like, I don't know, telling someone who's mugging, you know, who's in your house committing home robbery and throwing them out, but trying to throw them just an inch outside of your doorstep instead of completely into the street.
Fair point. I'm not going to argue that. That's fair enough. All right, well, listen, if anybody wants to call in, this will be the, I guess, first try for taking callers for the guests on the show under the new phone system here, but it should work out, I hope. Let's give it a try. If you want to get involved in this conversation, it's 512-271-4836, 512-271-4836, or 877-513-0792, 877-513-0792, if you want to ask your own question of Adam Kokesh from Adam versus the Man. Hey, now let me ask you this real quick, and it's just sort of a minor point in all of this, I guess. But there's this video going around where it looks like some guy sticks a joint in your belt or something, and everyone's saying, aha, an agent provocateur entrapped my man Kokesh. So what's going on with that? Could you explain?
Sure. That's Don DeZarn, and it's scary footage because you're right. It really looks like that, and I didn't even know that this had happened or was an issue at all until I was released from prison, and I was really shocked to see this, but also dismayed to see how people had jumped to conclusions and had gone to the point of making death threats against Don, which is inappropriate and I think grossly irresponsible in this case, because It really does look like it. As we were being shoved together, he has an arm that, you know, brought behind his back that's flailing in such a specific way that it really does look like that's what he's going to do, is to plant something on me. And if that's the case, it's, you know, a most ridiculous effort. He was certainly unsuccessful. But the odds of that being what was going on at that point are so low. I can't imagine that would be it. And if that was somehow the government's plan, I mean, first of all, they would have to know from eavesdropping that I didn't have any marijuana on me to begin with, because I think if they were trying to set me up, they were probably more going by the assumption, let's come up with an excuse to detain him, and then we can search him, and then he'll have weed on him, and then we can.
So you never did have a joint in your belt? Is that what you're telling us?
Right, I did not, and I did not have anything on me, and if that's what it was unsuccessful.
Okay, so perhaps it's misleading footage. You haven't had a chance to talk to the guy and ask him what's going on there?
Not personally, but I have no suspicion of him whatsoever.
Okay, you think it's all a misunderstanding, basically?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, I kind of suspected that, too. I wasn't sure what was going on. I think someone said that they thought maybe he was trying to adjust your wireless microphone volume or something like that. I don't know.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, no, okay, so not that. Well, anyway, we got a caller on hold, but I'm going to ask him to hold on for just one more second, because I want to ask you one more thing here real quick, which was, do you have an explanation for, other than just the obvious, that they're just persecuting you and seeing what they could get away with, is there any other explanation as to how your misdemeanor resisting arrest charges became some kind of excuse to turn you over to the feds? You never were charged under federal statutes, were you? But you were held by them?
I was charged with assaulting, impeding a federal officer.
Oh,
and
it was what, like a federal park police grabbed you or something?
Yeah, because
oh,
it was federal
I
park
see,
police
it was a federal.
Officers, and they said that I had grabbed him actually. That was the charge.
I see, but it was national government cops that arrested you in the first place. That's why it was the federal charges. That's what you're telling me?
Correct.
Okay, I understand. All right, now here's a caller. Anybody else wants to call in? It's 877-513-0792. Caller, go ahead with your question for Adam.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Outstanding. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I've been watching you for a couple of years now, and Guy, let me tell you, I'm 60, and when my friends tell me that the young people don't have a voice, I point them right at you.
I hope I can live up to that.
You're making a huge difference. I mean, somebody who's willing to put it out there, despite what may happen to them, because they know that the truth is a very powerful thing. Dude, you rock.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you have a question about the arrest or anything?
Well, I mean, I thought that was appropriate, what I just asked him. I do. Actually, my question had to do with the pot, the story of the pot being hidden on him, and he kind of answered that. But, look, you're dealing with desperate people. I mean, these people are truly desperate in their relationship with us, we shouldn't be surprised at anything they do. Not a thing.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, but it just means that it's, you know, in talking about the open carry march and talking about, you know, some of the other things that I've been involved in, a lot of people, like even we heard from Scott, you know, take it as a reason to back down or to not do something. And if anything, when you see the government doing things like this, it's a reason to step up. It's a reason to escalate our tactics. It's a reason to double down and try to strengthen what we're doing, not to back down, because when you back down, you know, it's only going to get worse.
They seem, Adam, to be very, very alert to blowback, and they don't get any blowback if everybody's very passive. They just don't.
Right.
Your time
exactly.
In jail just now, look what it's produced as far as people sending their support to you, even if it's in word only. It's huge.
Well, I think it's a lot more in deed as well. As people, I mean, for me, part of the motivation that I got out of this was that now, I mean, this is a clear condemnation of their own political process. You know, I mean, if you can't organize a legal protest, even if it's, you know, a call for civil disobedience, if you can't, you know, organize for that without being disappeared, then the government is, you know, it's not just not to be trusted. I mean, this is like on top of everything else. You know, as we said in the Declaration for the Final American Revolution, that they are using, you know, abusing political power to suppress political opposition. So what do you do? Then you have to seek non-political means of demanding change. And we're still saying that, you know, we can petition our government, but it's beyond the point where we can just petition the federal government. We have to be asking for specific change. And I think turning this into, you know, a call for secession at the state level is just one step in the right direction. But if the state governments say that, no, we want to be part of the federal system, you know, we want to stay on the federal seat, and the state governors will have made it clear that they're just as much criminally complicit as anybody involved in the federal government.
You know, Adam, when I watched the video of the D.C. Chief of Police talking to you, and realizing as she's speaking that she actually believes what she's saying, concept of the fact that what law is, what truth is. These are psychopathic people. They're at least sociopathic.
Absolutely.
Well, look, brother, a peace to you, and I just wanted to hear your voice and let you know there's somebody here in Kentucky that's fully happy that you're at least a voice, you know?
Well,
you're
thank you, sir. I hope it. Well, I hope you'll be ready to join us in deeds as well as words and be able to join people who are going to be doing something on Independence Day in your home state.
it never stops, Adam. It never stops. It's been going on for, 12 years now for me. And, you know, trying to be able to, or being able to communicate with people, at their level is taxing. It's just taxing.
If you're ready to step up, encourage everyone who's listening who wants to get involved to email our national coordinator, Jeffrey Phillips, at jeffrey@adamversusdemand.com, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y. And he can make sure that the efforts within your state for an event at your state capital are being coordinated, and that people that want to be able to get in touch with others in their state are able to communicate.
All right, cool. Hey, thanks for calling in. We're going to go to the next caller. And that's you. You're on with Adam Kokesh.
Hey, Scott?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, it's James Cox here. We're friends on Facebook, and Adam Kokesh. I'm friends with Adam, too. I have a question for Adam. After he got arrested and they kidnapped him and took him to the federal prison, and you were going through court, what happened? Because obviously you refused to ID. That's what I'm hearing. Did you really just keep refusing to answer any of their questions in court? I'd like to hear what your story is, what actually, went on inside the courthouse.
Sure. Yeah, the legal narrative is pretty interesting here because we were detained on scene, and I did not have ID on me. And even with if I had ID, then they would have said they told me they were going to be able to take me away and hold me until an arraignment. I got transported in a Philly PD van to a Philly PD center, and then. After being booked there, when I did refuse to identify, they printed me, photographed me, put me in, it was a really, really disgusting cell there. Then Parks Police came and picked me up and transferred me to the Federal Detention Center, where we ended up spending the rest of the week. And I ended up going through processing there, and they put me in the same cell as N.A. Poe, which was certainly nice for both of us and any government agents that were listening in on those conversations. And then we had our arraignment on Monday, and there were supposed to be, an opportunity for bail there, but the government requested their 3 days to hold us so that they'd have a separate detention hearing. So I remained silent then. They said that the reason bail was being denied was because it was a violent crime. And I was being held in the special housing unit, which is, they call it the shoe or the hole. And after finally repeatedly asking, we were able to get, at least I was able to get one phone call and get a little word out to my father on, I believe it was Tuesday. And then Thursday, we had our detention hearing. And because, N.A. Poe had gone with the strategy of doing whatever it takes to get out, and I went with the strategy of, it, I'm going to beat this thing, then we were able to go hardcore on challenging the probable cause. And that was when my attorney went through the process of picking apart the testimony that was in the affidavit of the complaint from Parks Police. And, really, it was important to just, before the judge, for the court record, walk through the narrative and reveal how absurd it was, even, if you held it as true in and of itself, but just the contradictions there and the misunderstandings or false accusations that became very obvious came out then. They wanted me to take bail, and they were telling me that if I just gave them a number, a phone number and an address, that I could be released, but then it would be conditional. And I wasn't going to agree to the conditions anyways because, as they told us, it was going to be, limited to an address, some form of house arrest, and, limited travel or travel with permission only, being submitted to regular drug testing, and not being allowed to own a firearm. And I said, that's not going to be acceptable anyways, but I'm going to stand here and I'm going to beat this thing. And because I had refused to take a PPD test for tuberculosis, as well as submit to DNA testing, I was not allowed to be admitted to the general population and was going to be held in the special housing unit. So when they said that if you don't submit at this point to all these tests or these conditions of bail, basically what I was doing was volunteering to do up to 100 days of solitary confinement because Poe had already been released at that point. And I knew that I was going to go back to that same cell, and they weren't allowed to give me a cellmate. And I was happy with that because, for my own safety to be isolated. And I was, more than happy to sit and work on my book, which I had started writing. So I said, shove it. I'm ready. You want me to do 30 days until the indictment and 70 days for a speedy trial? I'll do it. I'm good to go.
All right, wait. Hold it right there. If you want to finish this story, you're going to have to hold on through the top of the hour break here. Can you stay with us for a minute?
Jump, just a minute.
Okay, good deal. Hang tight right there. You too, caller, if you want. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. ScottHorton.org is my website when it's working, which it ain't, but it will be again tomorrow, probably. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /ScottHortonShow. I'm on the phone with Adam Kokesh from Adam versus the Man, and also with caller number 5 or something like that too. So you were
James Cox.
I'm sorry?
It's James Cox.
Oh, James Cox. Thanks very much. So you were wrapping up there when we were interrupted by the break, Adam, about your travails in the court system and how it was that they went ahead and threw you out of there instead of into the darkest pit.
Well, I think when it came down to it, they had to let me go because I was making the guards depressed by being so damn cheery. And, I made a real point of demonstrating to them how much more free I was, even when locked in a cage, than they were with their little wage slave government jobs.
Good time.
And being cheery, being upbeat. And, I got to say, I made an really interesting observation when I was in there in prison. It seems like, by and large, the prisoners at worst are, grumpy, surly, resigned to their situation, but generally accepting of it and upbeat, and they get to work out and they can sleep as much as they want and relax and not a lot of stress, at least where when you're in in special housing confinement. And by and large, the guards are overweight and grumpy and miserable with their little lives. And I think it's a really interesting contrast when you can accentuate that when you know you're there for a righteous cause. And I don't think they really appreciated the significance of it as much as I did. But
yeah.
Out of the blue, after that Friday morning, they just came to my cell, banged on the door. Hey, you're leaving. Get your shit together. And I scooped up what little paperwork I had there, and I didn't know if they were taking me to another facility or whatever, but they put me in khakis, the little ridiculous stretch waistband khakis, and a dirty white T-shirt, and unceremoniously dumped me in the pouring rain outside of the detention center with no announcement whatsoever, no foreknowledge. And the reason is, the way they decided to do it, I guess, was to reduce my charges to citations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the officer who had testified, who we embarrassed in court the day before, Donald Reed, was the one who was there as the Parks police officer who was responsible for getting my gear back to me, my personal belongings, which included the microphone I had in my hand when I was arrested. And he said, all right, and we're giving you these 2 citations you're going to sign for. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to sign those. And he just threw them in my bag, and that was it. So I have 2 citations for $275 each that I have not acknowledged receipt of or promised to appear in court for, and basically got off completely free and clear at the end of all of that by simply standing my ground. But I do want to say that playing hardball like that and taking that hard line in prison and in court was really only possible because there were so many people on the outside who were so supportive. I got to thank Jim Babb, Meg McClain, Nathan Cox, George Donnelly with Shield Mutual. I mean, I bought insurance for getting arrested, and it really paid off. And if there weren't people outside making noise, making it hard for them to keep me there, I think they would have been inclined to hold me a lot longer.
Arrested insurance.
So the fact is then, Adam, that you never, when they asked you if your name is Adam Kokesh, you never submitted to any of those lines of questioning. You never admitted that. You never said to them, yes, my name is Adam Kokesh. You just basically pleaded the fifth all the way along. You never actually admitted that you were Adam Kokesh, because, it is, fascism that we live under. This is total Nazi Germany. I've been arrested twice where I wouldn't give my identification to them when they asked me for a driver's license or something like that, and I got arrested. And so,
well, when you wish I could say I was that hardcore, but not quite. At first, yes, and I'm pretty sure. I think the next time I get arrested, and I'd like to see a group of people do this in mass somewhere when appropriate. But the moment they say you're under arrest, to go limp and mute, and force them to, if they want to arrest you, if they want to move you, they're going to have to drag you. They're going to have to pick you up and not give them anything whatsoever. All I did really was refuse to identify at first, but I decided I wasn't going to physically resist. I was going to physically cooperate even with my own kidnapping, if you will, and instead of taking it to that greater level of resistance. And so when they said they were going to fingerprint me, I didn't make them pick me up and drag me over to the machine. And at that point, they had identified me. They knew who I was, and there was no point in doing that. But then all that I did in terms of giving up information was, you know, my name and my social. And, you know, I probably didn't even have to do that. But it ended up being enough that there was enough leverage, and I limited what they were able to do, that they weren't able to release me on bail. You know, I wouldn't accept, you know, any of the ridiculous conditions like not being able to travel or own a firearm. So, but like I said, if it wasn't for that leverage on the outside, you know, we found out that when we got arraigned on Monday from other prisoners, because where we were in isolation, like we couldn't hear anything, you know, we had a slit for a window. And we found out that there were people with bullhorns outside, and the prisoners and the rest of the facility were getting loud, and we're making some noise as well. So I don't think we just made ourselves more trouble than we're worth, and up the cost of them for keeping us there.
All right, James, you got anything else for us here?
No, that's about it. Thank you for taking my call, Scott, and Adam, good luck, and take care of yourself.
All right, thanks very much,
Connor. Thanks for the call.
All right, now, okay, a couple of things here, and how much time you got?
I really got to go. I got some people waiting for me. I got to start my own podcast today. But I'm happy to answer if you got specific questions, Scott.
Okay. Well, yeah, this could just be a real quick yes, no. Are you considering a civil suit against them for perjury and false arrest and things like that for that false affidavit?
Absolutely.
Okay, good deal.
Absolutely. Although I got to say, you know, when I got body slammed at the Jefferson Memorial, and I think we're coming up on the statute of limitations for that, we were not able to find an attorney who wanted to take that case because it's so very hard to, you know, to get someone specific. But if it's possible, yeah, we're definitely looking into it. And the legal defense fund that was raised is now a legal attack fund, and we will be putting all the money that was raised for legal defense towards that accountability. But if people want to donate so that we can do other things in the vein of legal attack right now, AdamVersusTheMan.com/investigate.
Right. And then just real quick, I'll just leave you with, I guess it's just my confusion between calling off the one march and having these others in their place. And I guess I would just urge you to be real clear about the difference in that,
yeah,
it's going
absolutely.
From a pro-gun
absolutely.
Thing to a general declaration of independence. Because I'm all for either way. I just am not sure about the conflation of the two. And you're saying you don't want to conflate the two either. So I would just recommend being real clear about that because dummies like me are not understanding quite well.
Well, absolutely, Scott, and I hope you're in a position to make it to Sacramento on Independence Day. Jeffrey Phillips is actually based out of L.A. And
I'm back in Texas now. Yeah. I'm in Austin. So.
Oh, that's right. Well, we'll see if we can get Alex Jones to lead the march on Austin then.
All right. You do that. Okay. Thanks,
right,
man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Scott.
It.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. All right. That's Adam Kokesh from Adam Versus the Man. Fighting for your rights, AdamVersusTheMan.com. And I'm sorry, I should have all his websites right here in front of my face to recommend to you, but you can find them on YouTube. Oh, man, I'm late. Sure hope I can make my flight.
Stand there.
Me? I am standing here.
Come here.
Okay.
Hands up. Turn around.
Whoa, easy.
Into the scanner.
Ooh, what's this in your pants?
Hey, slow down. It's just my...
Hold it right there. Your wallet has tripped the metal detector. What's this? The Bill of Rights?
That's right. It's just a harmless stainless steel business card-sized copy of the Bill of Rights from SecurityEdition.com. They're for exposing the TSA as a bunch of liberty-destroying goons who've never protected anyone from anything.
sir. Now give me back my wallet and get out of my way. Got a plane to catch.
Have a nice day.
Play a leading role in the Security Theater with the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's the size of a business card, so it fits right in your wallet, and it's guaranteed to trip the metal detectors wherever the police state goes. That's SecurityEdition.com. And don't forget their great Fourth Amendment socks.
Hey, guys, I got his laptop.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the journal of the Future Freedom Foundation. Every month, Plumline Individualist editor Sheldon Richmond brings you important news and opinions on policy by heroic FFF President Jacob Hornberger, hard-hitting journalist columnist James Bovard, and others from the best of the libertarian movement. The Future of Freedom tackles the most important issues facing our country, from the bankrupt and insane welfare and regulatory states, to foreign wars and empire, the dismal state of our economy, and ongoing assaults on civil liberties. This society needs peace and freedom for prosperity to prevail. Subscribe to the Future Freedom imprint for just $25 a year or online for $15 a year at fff.org/subscribe. And hurry up, because this summer they'll be running my articles about the wars in Libya, Syria, and Somalia in the Future of Freedom too. That's fff.org/subscribe for the Future of Freedom. And tell them Scott sent you. Admit it, our public debate has been reduced to reading each other's bumper stickers. Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. I made up most of them, and most of those when I was mad as hell about something. So if you hate war, empire, central banking, cops, Republicans, Democrats, gun grabbers, and statists of all stripes, go to LibertyStickers.com, and there's a good chance you'll find just what you need for the back of your truck. Own a bookstore? Sell guns at the show? Get the wholesaler's deal. Buy any 100 stickers and they drop down in price to $1 a piece. You can spread the contempt and make a little money too. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey everybody, Scott Horton here. Ever think maybe your group should hire me to give a speech? Well, maybe you should. I've got a few good ones to choose from, including how to end the war on terror, the case against war with Iran, central banking in war, Uncle Sam and the Arab Spring, the ongoing war on civil liberties, and of course, why everything in the world is Woodrow Wilson's fault. But I'm happy to talk about just about anything else you've ever heard me cover on the show as well. So check out youtube.com/Scott Horton Show for some examples, and email scott@scotthorton.org for more details. See you there. Over at AIPAC, the leaders of the Israel lobby in Washington, D.C., they're constantly proclaiming unrivaled influence on Capitol Hill, and they should be proud. The NRA and AARP's efforts make them look like puppy dogs in comparison to the campaigns of intimidation regularly run by the neoconservatives and Israel firsters against their political enemies. But the Israel lobby does not remain unopposed. At the Council for the National Interest, they put America first, insisting on an end to the empire's unjustified support for Israel's aggression against its neighbors and those whose land it occupies, and pushing back against the lobby's determined campaign in favor of U.S. attacks against Israel's enemies. CNI also does groundbreaking work on the trouble with evangelical Christian Zionism and neocon-engineered Islamophobia and drumming up support for this costly and counterproductive policy. Please help support the efforts of the Council for the National Interest to create a peaceful, pro-American foreign policy. Just go to councilforthenationalinterest.org and click Donate under About Us at the top of the page. And thanks.